May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God, there are so many thoughts. We have our Joel Summit this week, which means we have some clergy from around the Southeast. Over the next couple of days, we just share scripture together, pray for God to do more in our experience. And so what I'm going to share with you a little bit this morning is a collective thing that we've all kind of shared together. I had Ron read that scripture about faith. Because one of the things we were talking about was revival. And I think Robert Mayo talked about God just speaking some things to him about the number 444, which often prophetically speaks of out-of-season things, unusual things, God doing stuff. And we are living in a time, and one of the things we said over the course of time, and Robert was reminded that the revival is already on the ground. Well, the truth is this, is that you've heard me say this a lot lately, so let me say it again. And I understand the reasoning, but charismatics, whom I love, I'm one. Charismatics are fun. We're cute. It makes Christianity not boring. And but we're entertaining. And one of the things that we pray all the time, oh, God, show up. Oh, God, show up. Oh, God, show up. The truth is, he already did, and he's waiting for us to show up. Not to show up that we're striving to get to a place, but show up in faith to realize that we're already at a place he's provided for us. And we stop believing him for things and start believing him from a place he's already accomplished for us. And we were reading, I'll just read this set of scripture to you. This is from Isaiah. In Isaiah 63, Isaiah is remembering on behalf of Israel a time when God moved in his presence and supernaturally among them. But they were going through a season of where they weren't walking in that reality. And once again, they're asking the Lord to show up in the person of the Holy Spirit. And in the context, what they're really praying for is revival. But actually what they're praying for is the coming of Messiah. Because they believed the coming Messiah would bring an authenticity of revival that would be permanent, perpetual, the kingdom. And so when they finally get to the place where they've remembered what used to be, praying for what would be, these crazy verses in chapter 64 that we all know, oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. That the mountains might quake at your presence as fire kindles the brushwood, as fire causes water to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence. Like when you did awesome things which we didn't expect, when you did come down and will again, and the mountains quake and will quake again at your presence. Well, you know what? At Pentecost, that prayer was answered. The revival came. It's been on the ground for 2,000 years. What's happened in the church is that there have been periodic times when the church has entered into parts of that reality. They've jumped into parts of the river, but the river's been flowing full stream from Pentecost forward, because you see, the finished work of Christ wasn't totally completed until Pentecost, because he did all that so he could pour out his spirit on all flesh. And revival has been on the ground ever since then. For me, it's a lot harder to believe God for something than to believe God from something. So I thought about that place in 1 Timothy. So this is real personally, because revival is a personal thing, not just a corporate thing or a regional thing or a geographical thing or a national thing. It is a church thing. You with me? And revival is just about normal, right? Well, if we take it on a personal level and extrapolate it to the body of Christ as a whole, didn't the scripture say that Christ, the church is the fullness of him who's filling all and who's in all? Doesn't it say in Colossians chapter 2, 9 and 10, and you have been made complete, past tense, you have been made full in Christ? Done. Happened. That's revival. You're there. But how much time do we spend, God, get me there, wherever that there is to you, and God's saying to you, you're there, you're in Christ. You've been seated in the heavenly places with him. And so I thought about that verse, and we've misinterpreted it. So many Christians have from Timothy, when Timothy says, Paul says to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. And we've interpreted that to mean, I'm fighting to believe. That's not what it says. He says, fight from a place of belief. It's the fight of faith, not the fight for faith. There's a big difference. There's a big difference between pleading faith and resting faith. We've been seated in the heavenly places in Christ. It's the fight of faith. It's the fight of believing. We fight with our faith. We don't fight to believe. We fight from believing. That's true on a personal level, and that's true corporately. We're going to post in the next day or two another word about that just was birthed out of our time together. Yeah, revival's on the ground. It's been on the ground. Full bore. Grown up. Bug-eyed. Mature. Fullness of Christ. Revival. What's happening is we're seeing the church beginning to dip their toes into it again. And therefore, in that sense, the revival being experienced is kind of on the ground. But let me just say this to you. This time, the church is going to get in over her head. Water to swim in. It's been there all along. But we're going to jump in this time. So be encouraged. Start thanking God for revival. In your own personal life and corporately. And pray, God, help us to show up in faith. We don't need him to break through. He broke through 2,000 years ago. He's standing in fullness waiting for us to break through in faith. It's not any more complicated than that. One of my clergy who's here, Dan, who's yawning because he's so excited about what I'm saying, Father Dan is actually, by education, a rocket scientist. But I always say this, is that spiritually, we're not spiritual rocket scientists. We're called sheep. It's not complicated. That's a hard thing for Western Christians, Western Europeans, Western Christians to get. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.